it's rest, now it should be in the middle of a sugya, not even at the two dots. But there is a sort of a logic to the reason and stuff at that point, because we are moving over to new concepts. Just as, not to filibuster until then it comes, but just to point out that Mirz Hashem will have, after this year, 10 more shiurim, 5 weeks, and we will the last year will be Mirz Hashem before Shavuos. I think it comes out to Beis Sivan, and that, assuming that you have a Bechina in Yidi Yoredei or Yoko Shabbos the following week, it's the last week of the yeshiva, that will give you a week, a week off to prepare for that bechina. I don't necessarily see. I do feel chazara is very important, but I don't need a bechina in order to be able to give a grade. And so those who want a chazar while they're still in this month, those who want a chazar afterwards. But I think that we'll have 10, after this year, 10 full shiurim, try and get as far as we can within the second parak. Deal with issues of Adam Amasik that we haven't yet reached near Hashem, after it's a short discussion of Muad, and hopefully maybe even finish the second parak, but without any hitchayvus. Not that we finished the first parak, not something that's necessary. Okay, with that introduction, let's go back to Daf Kaf Gimel and Aleph. In case of Harergel, we are dealing with the Seifa of the Mishnah on Daf Kafalach and Mondays. Kelev Shenato Harara, Halach Hagadish, Ochal Harara Behidlik Hagadish, Al Harara Meshal Nezek Shalem, Al Hagadish Meshalem Chatzi Nezek. And we dealt with a lot of concepts dealing with the world of Shein and Regel and Eish. And the last sugi that we dealt with was Isho Mishon Mamona, Isho Mishon Chitzav, and Nafkaminas. And then the question is, the last question we dealt with was really about Kafkim of the days, on whom is the onus of watching? Is it that the Masik should watch his animal, or the Nizik should basically watch himself? And we saw Machokis Rishonim as to how do we pass it. Okay. But now the Gemara is dealing with one of the details within the world of shame. And the Gemara asks, Da'achla Hecha. We pointed out that the Kelev ate a Harara that contained the Gachelas, and that set everything into motion. But where exactly did the Kelev eat this Harara in order to be Chayev Nezek Shalem on the Harara? Ilema Da'achla Begadish Da'alma. If he ate it in a place which was not the Rishus Hanizak, not the owner of the Harara, Habi'inan Ubir B'stei Acher Veleka, that would not fulfill the requirement of Shein and Regel, that you require Dafka Chotzer Hanizak. Lo Tzricha De'achla B'gadish De'bal Harara, that to explain the Mishnah that there's going to be a Chiyuv of Shein, of Nezek Shalem, on the Harara, Mashalim Nezek Shalem, if you set up the Mishnah as the Nukimta, that it was eaten in the Rishus of the Baal Harara. Here we have the Chora, a tremendous Chiddush within this Gemara. That had we not had this Gemara, how would we have interpreted the concept of Ubir B'stei Acher? What has to be done b'stei acher from the sugyas that we've seen up to now? The animal goes into the side of the nizak, and then what? And then, well, if we're dealing with regal, he steps on something, right? Or he stumbles. If we're dealing with shein, what is the essence of achila in your minds up to this point? If he would have gone in, seen the tomato, put it in his mouth, and then walked outside and chewed the tomato. Would that have been chayav or pater? What would you have assumed up to this point? Chayav, right? That you're chayav on, that when we speak about ubir b'stei acher, it means that the beginning of the process has to be b'stei acher. That's the pshia of the owner of the animal, that he allowed his animal to go ahead and take a tomato within Rosh Hashanah. My nafkamina, where the animal actually chews on the tomato. In other words, if you have a pet parrot and you allow him to, you know, to fly into someone else's rishus and grab something, my nafkamina where he eats it. In other words, the ikar is where from where he took it. In other words, but our Gemara is telling us black and white, no, the achla hecha. It's not a question of from where he took it, it's a question of where he ate it. The achla hecha, that the eating has to be done also in Sde HaMitzvah. Is that a svara or is that a gzeras hakasav?
That sounds more
like gzeras hakasav. That's not just sounds that way, but that's what Tosfos says. Look in Tosfos, three lines from the bottom. Tosfos points out, in other words, Ela misugya deshmeisen, three lines from the bottom, about the fourth word in the line. Ela misugya deshmeisen de ukma achla begadish de bal charara shma mina de ba'u bekicha ve achila bechatzer hanizak. Afo pi she'en tam bedavar ze. Matzarach ba'achila. Now it's who cares where the animal eats it. The ikar is from where he took it. Ela gzeras hakasav hu. And what Tosfos himself says that this is l'chora gzeras hakasav. This is the literal meaning of ubir b'steyacher. Ubir would mean he consumed it. Consumed it goes beyond taking it. Consumed it means that he actually ate it. So even though the svara to be machayev b'steyacher is the lakicha that we have over here, in addition, gzeras hakasav, you require ubir, and therefore we'll set up our Mishnah that the kelev ate the charara b'stei, in other words, in b'stei ha-ba'al ha-charara.
So beer implies whatever.
Beer generally means to have something totally consumed. We'll see that in the Gemara. We call kalya karna, that the object is consumed, beer. Then the Gemara then says, well, if that's the case, that we have this gzeras hakasuv, they require achila, v'stei acher tifshev, d'pi para, kachatzer hanizak dami, d'i kachatzer hamazik dami, le'malei, my boy, riftach, v'puma, de kalboy, d'i boy lehu, pi para, kachatzer hanizak dami, o kachatzer hamazik dami. Nikuda. Now it's that we have in elsewhere in Shas a question: how do we view the mouth of the animal? Is it going after the environment in which he is found? So if he's in chatzer hanizak, we'll view the mouth as chatzer hanizak, or do we say no? This is a chatzer within a chatzer. That this is chatzer hamazik. The moment we have gzeras hakasuv ubir v'steyacher, that the consumption has to be done in the chatzer hanizak, we've been able to establish the answer to our question. In other words, it must be, in order to have a chiyuv of shame, we must say that pi para kachatzer ha nizak dami in order to fulfill the gzeras hakasuv. That's what the Gemara says. Once we have this gzeras hakasuv, now we have an answer to our question. But in other words, the chora, and this is what bothered Tosfos, in other words, are we now on Daf Kaf Gimel Amud Aleph beginning the world of shame? In other words, we're looking to know, is Pi Para Kachatzer HaMazik or Kachatzer HaNiza? We had Mishnayos. In other words, on Daf Yutesim it is. Ketzad HaShem Mu'edet Le'echol Etaro'i Le'behimah Mu'edet Le'echol Peres V'Yirakos. Why are we bringing a raya from this case of Kelev Shenatol Charara to teach us that pi para is kachatzer hanizak? L'chora, we have a din of shame. Shame is going to be chayav. If the Torah requires that shame be in eating in chatzer hanizak, so then automatically it must be that pi para kachatzer hanizak, because we have a din that shame means eating. Right? That shame is not only a din of hana'a in some external manner. Shame means eating. And so if we have Mishnayos that speak about an animal eating and being chayav, it must be that pi para kachatzer hanizak dami. That's what bothered Tosfos. Like, the sugya over here appears to be totally out of order. Tema. Amaylo pashit mish'arba be'demasnisin. Why wait until we get to Kelash Arto Charara, which is a very, very unusual case. It teaches us the unusual halachos. Here we're dealing with the core of Chiyuv of Shein. We're saying that Shein requires eating in Chatzer HaNizak. Titzanan HaShein Mu'edes Le'echol HaRo'ila. Or the sefer of that same mission of your testament base, may he da'acha mitzidei arachava umitoch hachanos. A. Va'od. And secondly, when this question was raised in the Beis Medrash, whether pi parah is to chatzar hamazik or pi parah chatzar nizak, what were the rayas that were brought that we're going to see later on daf kafgimu and beis? What's the halacha of shisa boas hakelev? Right, that you instigated the dog to bite someone. Who cares about that? Let's just simply say an animal is eating a tomato, and then we say pi parah chatzar. Why do we have to move on to shisa bo hakelev va'od? In words, why have to go beyond, even if we're going to say that for some reason the diik is going to be from the Mishnah and the kafal from the days, so let that diik be brought in the Gemara as a raya. Why have to go on to left field, to kelev shishisa? Very, very strange. V'od, Maiko Omar, my boy, riftach bepume de kalboy. What kind of a taina is it to say, what is your tomato doing in my animal's mouth? What is your biscuit doing in my animal's mouth? Why does that fellow just answer, your animal? Why didn't you ask your animal? Why didn't you ask the animal? The animal picked it up. The animal took it. What do you mean? I didn't put it there. The animal put it there. Came in the kelev lakcha. So what's going on over here in the sugya? It's very, very, very strange. And it's pashtus, we would say, the moment that there is a lakicha from the Chatzer HaNizak, so that's the Mechayev in and of itself. Comes on the Gemara and adds, you know, you need a Lakicha and an Achila. Okay. But, you know, but the moment that you need a Lakicha, doesn't that say that the Pi Parah is Chatzer HaNizak, the animal is taking it into its mouth? And certainly if you need an Achila, then the animal, then the Pi Parah is Chatzer HaNizak. Why have to come on to a strange Raya over here on Daf Kaf Gimel Amar Aleph? Why not bring in the Mishnayos and Daf Yutes? Why does the Gemara and the Kaf Yom HaDeis ignore all of everything and bring in Shisa Boas HaKelev? To me, the whole sugya appears to be built on some assumption that we're missing. Something is missing in our understanding of the sugya. So Tosus fills us in. The Nira Lari, the Mikol Hanug Masnisin Lo Matzi Lo Mifshat Velo Me Ahid Anato Chararo. We can't really make a diyuk from any Mishnayos, because all the Mishnayos tell us is that when an animal takes food from Chatzar HaNizak, he is chayav. It doesn't tell us anything about the world of eating, because we would not have any inkling that eating has to be done in Chatzar HaNizak. Mishum desalka daitach im lakcha habehema peros b'chatzar HaNizak. Who cares where he ate it? Even achla b'rishus harabim o b'chatzar hamazik, chayav. Mechayavinan b'lekicha l'chuda. That without this sugya, without this line of bi'inan bi'ir b'stei acher, we understand Shein perfectly wonderfully. That when an animal goes into Chatzar HaNizak and picks up food, no matter where it's going to be eaten, you're going to be chayav. And therefore, who cares whether the pi parah is Chatzar HaMasik, Chatzar HaNizak? It's totally, totally, totally an irrelevant factor. V'chein asfara note, the kevan de pasha b'lekicha, that since the owner of the animal allowed his animal to take food from Chatzar HaNizak, Malonu La'achila, who cares where it's eaten, whether the parrot flies away and eats it, it eats it b'mekoma, v'had b'matina nistei acher v'shus harabim haynu v'kicha. So the question is, okay, so Tosis points out that really we were right all along. Our original svara was correct, that the iker of ubir v'stei acher al pi svara is l'kicha. That's the iker. And therefore, the question of the status of the pi parah is an irrelevant question. Okay, so then what did Chazal ask? What was their abaya about the if we don't care about where the animal ate, what then was their abaya if pi parah is chatzar hamazik, chatzar nizak, mainach gemina? The moment there was a lakicha from stei hamizak, you're chayef. Had there been a lakicha from rishus harabim, you'd be pater. So what's going on? So Tosis answers that the whole issue of pi parah kachatzar hamazik or chatzar nizak is in Rukimta, where there was no lakicha. What if we're dealing with a situation where there was no lekicha? It was put into the mouth of the animal. The animal didn't take it. It was put into his mouth. Well, why do we say, wait a minute? It was put into his mouth. So the person who put it into his mouth should be chayav. No? Adam uvad li'ola, whoever put it into his mouth. So what's the answer of Tosfos? What's Yukimta? We're dealing with someone who's not a bar chiyuva. A chayra, shota, kata, and a goy put a tomato in the animal's mouth. So there's no lakicha on the part of the animal from chotzer hamiza. So now, is the animal chayav for eating? So the question is, what's the status of his mouth? Is his mouth the chotzer hamazik, or is his mouth chotzer hamiza? That's the question of the Gemara when we have no lakicha. We have no lakicha. Then you have a question of the Gemara, what do you do? And then everything is hunky-dory, everything is fine. We can't learn out from the Mishnayos, because all the Mishnayos talk about a case where there was a lakicha on the part of the animal, so certainly a chayav. But when there was no lakicha, what's the halacha? So now that our sugya over here is macharish to us a chiddush, that you require not only a lakicha, but also an achiva b'chatzar nizak, now we have an answer to the question that we asked about pipara k'chatzar hamazik k'chatzar nizak, that according to this gzeras hakasuf, you can be poshet, that pipara k'chatzar hanizak. But without this law, in other words, namely, the raya of the Gemara is not from the Mishnayos. The raya of the Gemara is from this zeras hakasuf, ha be'inan ubir b'stei acher, that achiv has to be done b'stei acher. That zeras hakasuf now answers the question that we had previously. Okay, that's simply the context of Tosos. That the whole question was asked in a situation where there was no lakicha, and we didn't know the zeras hakasuf. So if there's no lakicha and we don't know about the zeras hakasuf, what's the question of chatzar hamazik chatzar nizak? Ulukimta. And so Tosfos gave his ukimta. The Ravid was bothered by the exact same question as Tosfos, but he simply gave a different ukimta. Let's look at the Ravid for a minute. Ukimta, the achla the godish the baal charara, nimtza af al pi shehot si'ah mimakom ptur. Sheharei amarnu hacharara lo hayes abeveis baaleha, kevan sheacha bamakom chiyuv chayuv. Val ze amarnu tivshot the pi parak kachatzar hanizak dami kloma af al pi shehotzi mimakom ptur vaholicha bepiv ad makom hachiyuv nachshov et piv ki ilu hu bachatzar hanizak miyad v'ha di iboy lehu pi parak kachatzar hanizak dami olo v'chi haygavna iboy lehu. In other words, that we have to set up the abaya in a case where there's no lakicha. How can you have a case where there's no lakicha? How did it get to the parah's mouth? So Tosas gave an answer that a person who's an eno bar chiyuva put it in the parah's mouth. The Ravid has a very simple answer. The parah took it. But where did he take it from? He took it from a makam ptur. So if the parah took it from a makam ptur, in which he took it from a place that has no halachic meaning, right? He took it from on top of a mailbox. He took it from a place which is less than Dalet al Dalet and 10 tefachim above the Rishus HaRabim, right? Those who were Hilchos Shabbos. So if the parah took it from there, then halachically, technically, the parah did not do lakicha mechatzer hanizak, and now he's eating it. Do we have a chiyuv of rega? Because we need chatzer hanizak. We don't have yet a lakicha. So maybe we have an achila. That depends upon this abaya of the achila. Once we say that every shein requires achila b'makom ha'niza, b'zeres hakos, b'yibis de'acher, then we can be poshed our abaya, according to the series. So that the Ravid and Tosus are, b'intayim, working on the same shvung, that to understand the abaya of kiparach, chatzar mas, chatzar nizak, it has to be an ukimta where there was no lakicha. They just differ on what the ukimta was. But once our Gemara says, no, you're not chayav for only the lakicha, you also require an achila, so then we can be poshet the sabaya with our Gemara. Okay? Is that clear? Somebody chatted the Gemara. So then the Gemara asks, this is the next stage, within the abaya of pi parah kachatzar mazik kachatzar nizik dami, e amri kachatzar hamazik dami, shein dechiev rachmana
Hecha mishkachasrei. How can a person possibly hold pipara kachatzer hamazik dame? We have a din of shame. And shame must be chayav. So it must be that pichatzer is chatzer hamazik dame. What kind of question is that? We just said the whole issue of pipara kachatzer hamazik nizak was in the case of Nukimta where there was no lakicha. So the answer to the Gemara should have been, where do we have a din of shame? In 99% of the cases, we have a lakicha. What kind of question is it? If you hold pipara kachatzer hamazik dame, how are you going to find shame? You'll find shame whenever there was a lakicha from chatzer hanizak. That's what the Gemara answers. The Gemara answers, we'll find shame when you have a non-achila hanoa. When you have hanoa of scratching your back, you have hanoa of rolling in the mud, that's where you're going to have shame. You have a shame when you have a lakicha. A very strange question. So the Raiva and Tosis both have to relate to this, because they were the ones who said that the whole abaya was in Nukimta. How Rashi learned, we don't know. Rashi was just, ignored the, he's just played the Gemara over here locally. He's not involved with the broad, it's not his issue currently. But Tosas was looking at the parak as a whole. Like, what's going on over here? What's this Abaya, Pipara? Why is he brought over here? And why do we bring in the Kevel Shaltach Harara? In other words, and he comes up with the fact that we have, a working assumption that Lakicha is enough. And then this will be in a case where there is no lakicha. That's when you have the abaya. But if we have xeras hakasa, they require achila. They stay on nizak, so we can answer the abaya from there. Once the Raivan and Tosus learn that way, so now they have to learn the Gemara. So look at Tosus at the end of that same Tosus. Tosus points out v'hadikamar about 10 lines from the bottom of that same Tosus on Kafimun Beis. V'hadikamar shein dechiyev rachmana echa mishkakasleh. 99% of the cases we have a din of shame. The normal case, the animal put its trunk into chatzer hanizak and the vacuumed up food. That's where you have shame. Ella mishum de pashte dekra mashma shehabir hayesa b'stei acher kamigoi hecha mishkachasla. The question wasn't where do we have halachic piyur of shame. Question was, where do we have a pshuto shel mikra chiyuv of shame? Very interesting. Now again, this we don't know in this avaya kafim lebeis. We don't know yet know of this zeres akosu that we saw in the kafim lebeis. And the gemara had an avaya in the world, right? In other words, and it was without zeres akosu. But even if we don't have zeres akosu of a requirement, but because the Torah says ubir b'stei acher. The beer b'stei acher means that we have a consumption b'stei acher. And so the Gemara wanted to know that if you view the mouth as a stei hamazik, how do you ever have a beer b'stei acher? It's a tarte de sasre. Beer b'stei acher means that the consumption was b'chatzer hanizak, but if the mouth is chatzer hamazik, how are we going to learn pshuto shel mikra of the pasuk? That's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara answered, you learn Pshuto Shanikra of the Pasuk when the animal scratched its back. That's Ubir V'Steyachir. And then the Gemara, going back to the Gemara, Amar Rav Mari, Rav Avkan, Gonyin Schachacha B'Kos Al HaNasa, Tinfa Peros Al HaNasa. You have Pshuto Shanikra will be in the case of a non-eating Hana. Maskva Marzutra, Binan Kashi Yevair HaGolol Atuma. Ubir doesn't only mean to have Hana, Ubir means to destroy. Kalyakarna. When an animal rubs its back on a wall, it doesn't destroy the wall. When an animal lies down on fruit, it doesn't destroy the fruit. The fruit is still there. It's squashed, but it's still there. The wall is still there. It may be a little less firm, but it's still there. So Gemara answers, Ukimta, Rabbi Namar Deshaf Tzalmei, that there was a picture on the wall, and when the animal rubbed its back, it erased the picture. That's Kayakarna. Michelangelo made a sketch on a wall, and an animal walked by and rubbed its back on that wall and destroyed it in Michelangelo. Right? It destroyed a painting or a sketch that's worth $1 million. So that's the case of Kayakarna. And the case of the rolling on the fruit is a case of the Pase Psue. So there are different papers from Rashi, but basically the fruit are no longer available to us. they've been squished out of existence, they've been covered by mud. In any case, we have a case of Kaya Karma. But according to Tosfos, all of this is simply to explain Pshuto Shel Mikra. You realize that that's a little dachuk. I mean, you could learn the sugya that way, but in other words, it appears that the Gemara was bothered by something a little more heavy than, if we don't have Gzeres and Kasuf, that this is Pshuto Shel Mikra, you know, and that's the question, Shein Hecha Mishkachosle. So the Ravid wanted to take it one step further. The Ravid said, this Maksha, that if you hold that the mouth is kachotzer hamazik dame shein dechir rachmona hecha mishkachasle, has a different understanding of shein than we thought originally. We thought that shein is a process. When does the process begin? With what act? Lekicha. And when does it end? With achil. That's the right. And so we were assuming it's enough to have the beginning of the process. That's the pshia of the owner of the animal, that he allowed the beginning of the process of mazik to happen b'chatzer hanizak. But the rabbi says that this mandam or this maksha is assuming makitov. Lekicha is really meaningless. An animal can take a tomato into its mouth and then spit it out. And then you just wash it off and eat it. In other words, what's the big deal? In other words, nothing happened. Was the animal nehene from putting tomato in its mouth? Chor, no. Was the animal, did the animal begin to destroy the tomato putting it in its mouth? Chor, no. And so, if you know what shein, dechiv rachmana, hecha mishkachasla. What is shein? Hana'a. When does the hana'a begin? With the eating. But if pi para kachatzer hamazik dame, so you're never going to have shame. Namely, it's a more ekroni question. That the question is that we have a mandamer who says that lukicha is meaningful. Look in the Raivin. Haida amrinan. We're now in the sixth line of the Raivin. We left off middle of the line. The haida amrinan ikachatzer hamazik dame yashen dechiv rachmanek mishkachasla das hamaksha bilvad haya. This is as far as yachid. As far as Yachid, Hayarotza the Damos Kol Achilas Para Lazos, that maybe we, in other words, again, Tosin the Rabbit said, this whole question of Pi Para, Kachachar Maz, Kachar Nizak is an Ukimta. An Ukimta where there was no Lakicha. This Maksha holds really every shame, there is no Lakicha. Lakicha is not halachically relevant to the world of shame. Shame is the world of Hana'a. Lekicha has nothing to do with Hana. So really, every case of shame, even if had there been a Lekicha, who cares if there's a Lekicha? There's no mazik in being Lokeach. Ratzel ledamos kol achilas para lezos to this ukimta. Again, the ukimta of the Ravid was that the animal took it from Malkam Ptur. The ukimta of Tosus was that the animal was fed by a cheresh out of a kata and a regoy. Really, all shame is, the Lekicha is irrelevant. There's no mazik of shame. The fact that a tomato is in the mouth of an animal, right? I don't know if you've ever seen a hippopotamus eat, right? So it just opens its huge mouth and takes it takes a whole bunch of tomatoes in its mouth, and then we have no idea what happens afterwards. But at that first stage, if you would have just shot the hippopotamus through the eyes and opened its mouth, you just would have taken the tomatoes out. Right? Nothing would have happened. And you would have washed them off and sold them. Right? In other words, Neshalohiv Sada Tobagamonehne Imenu Ad Shitalai Soto. The beginning of the Hana'a is the chewing. Right? In other words, that when you're at a fancy restaurant that you pay, I don't know, $100 for a steak. You would be those were in America recently. So you pay $100 for a steak. So you cut the steak. Corey, that's not the Hana'a, right? And you're not paying $100 for the smell, right? And you put it in your mouth. So it's only when you begin to chew and you feel the charcoal, right, you feel yourself being poisoned, etc. That's when you're paying $100. Achikilas or so. Bim kain, harehu. So really, every case of shame is commotion that talta mimokom p'tur. The lekicha is halachically irrelevant. And with my nafkamina, whether the animal is taken from a makam tur and then walking to a makam chiyuv, or he simply puts into his mouth and afterwards begins to chew. The process is beginning not at the time of the lekicha. The process is only beginning when it begins to chew. Umash tirates bal hagemara kunchin es kachach lekosa lahanasa loling and das hashela harishana heshi. Namely, he's answering l'shitatcha. According to you who hold that lekicha is meaningless, inachinami, shame will be rubbing a bed. Shame will be lying down on food. Ki abaya lo hayesa binyan zekeh shivirashti. We're not coming to answer the issue pipara, kechatzer hamas batarniza. That's only in Rukimta. That's only in Rukimta where there's no lekicha. Ki hanoteles ocheles michatzer hanezek vocheles sham. Shitalon the pipar chotzer hanezek ki miyad hinenes benetilasa umiyad hahefsed matzil b'ma'achal. Namely, that even though we saw an opinion that lekicha is meaningless, putting in the mouth, nothing has yet happened. Nothing happens at the beginning of chewing. We all know, says the Gemara, that's not true. That the moment an animal puts something in its mouth, that's the beginning of the end. The animal begins the hana'ah by knowing that it has, you know, where it's a bird in the, what, you know, it's worth two in the bush. A bird in the?
Bird in the hand.
In the hand, right? A bird in the hand is worth two. No, it's, that he has the food in his mouth. Okay, so he already doesn't have to worry about, you know, his hunger. And his digestive juices already begin working on it immediately. Namely, you're not just going to wash it off and sell it. No one wants to eat something that had digestive juices that are hippopotamus on it. In other words, but no one wants to eat bird seeds that a bird already had put into its mouth, and then you shepherded the bird, took the bird seeds out. That, in other words, that's already nifsan. The lekicha is really the beginning of the maisa nezek. So we have over here then that the Gemara, according to Tosfos, was searching for a pshuto shel mikra, and says pshuto shel mikra will be in a different ukimta, in ukimta of a hanoa, a non-achila hanoa. According to the Ravid, the Gemara was, there was a maksha who assumed that lekicha is never meaningful. Any lekicha is like a non-lekicha. There's no difference if someone puts something in the animal's mouth or takes it from a makom patur or picks it up. Nothing happened until it begins to eat. So the eating is the ikar. And therefore, shein dechiv rechman alamav. And the answer of the Gemara, according to the Ravid, is that assumption is simply wrong. That really, lekicha is the beginning of the process. And without gzeras hakas, we would have said that's sufficient. And then we have gzeras hakas of Tzkafkim Amad Aleph, that says you also require an achila, birshus hanizak, as gzeras hakas. B'chor, the beginning of the process should be sufficient. But in any case, since the world of Pipara is basically in Ukimta where there was no Lekicha, according to the Tosfos and the Ravid, so if you're going to try and bring a Raya, you have to bring a Raya from a case where there was no Lekicha. Where do we have cases that are no Lekicha? Toshma. Shisa boas hakelev, shisa boas hanachash, or toshma hishik boas hanachash, namely that there was no Lekicha on the part of the animal, but someone put something into the mouth of the animal. He put a hand into the mouth of the snake. He put a, etc. Then, you'll ask, well, what about the person? Why shouldn't he be chayev? Well, that's groma ba'alma. What about the snake? Is there going to be a chiyuv? That depends on what the Gemara speaks about as to whether this is automatically going to be a nezek, not automatically, b'chulei, b'chulei. But here we have cases where there's really no lekicha. All there is nezek. Nezek without lekicha. That's the question of pipara, kechatzer hamazik, or pipara, kechatzer hanizak. Right? That here we can ask, in other words, like, what is your hand doing in my mouth? In other words, we can't say, well, the animal took it. The animal didn't take it. It was put into the animal's mouth. Okay, so that's the context of the sugya, according to the Gemara. Beside there? Okay. So that we've seen. A. B, moving over to the next sugya. The next sugi, and then the Gemara just points out that the only time that we have a chiyuv of chatzar hanizak is in the area of niske mamon, as opposed to what if the animal doesn't damage but it kills, right? Then the world of chol v'lo mazik, there's no nafkamina if an animal kills in chatzar hanizak, an animal kills in rishus harabim. There was that the whole din of ubir b'stei acher requiring chatzar haniza is only in the world of damage, it's not in the world of killing. Okay, that l'chora is davar pashat. The Rambam has hilchos niske mamon, and he has chovel umaz. You know, it's chovel v'rotzeach. That these are it's not only a question of mamon hamasik or adam hamasik, but also what is the result. Then the Gemara brings in the world of that takes us down to Ketola lo amrina. Then the Gemara brings in Hanu Ize de Beitarbu, and here we saw that Rabbi Yossi sent Abaye to tell the owner of these animals to stop going into his field, and Abaye said, why should I go? They'll tell me that Rabbi Yossi should have a fence. And we have machlokes, who's correct? Rabbi Yosef or Abaye's svara? Was Abaye serious, just trying to get out of an uncomfortable encounter with kind of uncomfortable people? And so that we saw machlokes Rishonim, Tosos, and the Rif. Okay, then we move to a new sugya where the vav of the Ein Mishpat is Machriz Rabbi Yosef. Okay, so let's start from there. That's where we have new material. Machriz Rav Yosef Itema Rava, the Salkin Le'ela Udenachtin Le'tata'a. In other words, that Rav Yosef pointed out that those who are going from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, or those who are going from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, should publicize the following statement, that Hane Ize Deshuka, the Mafsideh, that when you have Shochtim, who purchase Ezen, and they're holding these Ezen for Yom HaShuk. Let's assume that Yom HaShuk is Thursday. So they buy Ezen on Sunday. They don't want to shech them on Sunday because there's no market on Sunday. The market for purchasing Ezen is on Thursday. So they're going to keep these Ezen around for the whole week. What's the nature of an Ez? More later on, about the chassid who was told that he has to drink fresh milk every day, and he bought an Ez and tied it to his member. In other words, and the Chachamim were very upset that he brought an Ez into his house, because what's the nature of an Ez? It's masik. It tends to go into other people's fields to graze. It has a lot of chutzpah, the goats, and so these goats that are being kept around are asking for trouble. They're basically going to cause damage to other people while the shochet is waiting to shech them. So you should inform the shochtim that Hane Izi Deshuka Demafsideh Masrinan Bemarayu Treva Tvasazimna. We warn the shochtim. You shouldn't go ahead and buy Izim on Sunday if you're not planning on checking them until Thursday. Buy them Wednesday night and then check them on Thursday. Where are the Izim normally? They're out in the field. You're bringing them into a populated area. People have gardens. And these people are going to be losing their garden. So masrinan b'marayu trei tlasa zimnin, eat sayis sayis. Ilo amrin lei tiv masachta v'kabel zuzach. If they don't listen after a number of times, then go ahead and shech the izim and give the shochtim the money. Namely, the shochet is going to be losing money. Why? Because you're going to shech it not on Yom HaShuk. In other words, you're allowed to cause the shochet a certain loss if he is not taking into account the nezek of the tzibur. Okay? That's what we have over here. So it appears, the way Rashi understands, zio tiv amasachta, makom ma'amad hakatzavim, go to the place where the shochet stand, kabel zuzah, afilu biyom adolav deshuka shochet lehu, hoel ulashchita kayam. That we have a very, very local halacha, that because we have these izim that were meant to be nishchat, but the shochet had wanted to hold them until Yom HaShuk, or he'd make a big profit, we tell him, go ahead and shech it, or otherwise we're going to shech it now, and you're going to make a small profit. We're going to limit your profit because you're doing it on the cheshbon of the rabbi. Okay? Had we been dealing with some other situation, where it's whereby if the shochet wouldn't have, he wouldn't be selling shechtim. Let's say he would be, he sells, what? Okay, fine. In other words, that he sells you know, milk from cows, and his cows go out, and or even goats that would be for milk. In other words, but clearly they're not good for shechting. But he sells the milk. Even though these same goats cause damage, we wouldn't say we can go ahead and shech them because these goats aren't standing for shechita. Dafka in our situation where we are preventing damage, you know, we're preventing him from profiting overly. If it's causing damage, but we couldn't just go ahead and shech goats. That's what Tosis points out over here. Chayu izin deshuka dafka bahanu dekaimam l'shechita. In other words, that even if the shochet says, I'll pay the damages, it's worth my while to pay the damages and keep these until Yom Hashuk, we wouldn't allow it. As Binaya pointed out, in other words, that had it been another situation, so then we would simply say that the shochet would, I'm sorry, that the milk dealer or the fleece dealer would pay damages, but we wouldn't go ahead and shech the, we can't take the law into our own hands and shech that which is causing damage to us. We can expect payment for the damage, but we can't shech the mazik. However, I sent you to other gemaras where clearly it's mashma that we have a much more extreme reaction to what goes on. Now, if you look later on in the Gemara and the Peyam and Aleph, where we have the three Amorari, right, Rav Shmuel and Rav Asi, next to the last line of Peyam and Aleph, the Iklu Leves Shvua Haben, unclear exactly what the Simcha was, according to Rashi's opinion Haben, according to Tosas, it was a Shalom Zachar. Wherever they were going, they had a problem. Rav Go Ayel Kamei de Shmuel, we have this situation where no one wanted to go in first. Everyone owed someone something. This was a Talmud, and this one had done a favor. Vachule, and they're standing outside arguing who should stand aside to let the other two go in. And while they're arguing, then, Adahachi Vahachi, in the seventh line, Asa Shunra Kate Liyade Diyanoka. A cat came in because no one was around. Everyone was arguing over who should be Machavin whom. And a cat came in and bit off the arm of the baby, Nothik Rav the Darish, and so the reaction was, Chatul Muta Lahargo Va'asur L'Kaimo. Kill cats. In other words, don't let cats around. Cats are feral mazikim. Now in Australia, there's a whole movement to kill the cats, that they're killing all the wildlife in Australia. In other words, so kill the cats. In other words, you're allowed to kill the cats, even if they had previously owners. Okay, so that appears that we don't wait until the cat damages and then warn the owner once or twice and then kill the cat, right? And we don't make cheshbonas, we'll let the owner pay for the damages. No, you just go ahead and kill the cat. If you have a potential mazik, you kill the potential mazik. And Tosas Al-Atar points out that we have such a sugya in Sanhedrin. Since most of us don't have a Sanhedrin in front of us, so we have a Mishnah in Sanhedrin of Beis Amid Aleph, Hazeev Ha'ari Hadov Hanamer Harbardavas V'Hanachash. So if they were to murder someone, and again, assuming they have an owner, Misasan Be'esr B'Shloshta, we need a Bezdin to be done, the Dine Nefash, Rebbe Eliezer Omer, Kol HaKodem L'Hargan Zacha, Ma Pitom. You see someone who's raising a wolf or a lion, you go ahead and shoot them. And so there's a machokas in the Gemara between Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Where was Rav Eliezer speaking about? Only in a case that we know previously heimisu, and the person is trying now to tame them. Avalo heimisu lo, but they are tameable, right? Kasavar yesh lehem tarbus v'yesh lehem bailin. Rabbi Yochanan mar hapisha lo heimisu. Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rav, right? In other words, to kill the cats. So kill the cats, kill these big cats. In other words, you kill the panthers and kill the lions and kill the tigers. And it was Emlehem Tarbut that they're going to cause damage at some point. And then the question is, with the phrase of Kol Akodem Behem Zacha, how would Rabbi Yochanan interpret it? How would Rish Lakish interpret it? But Echshalo Yiyeh, we see that these Gemaras appear to go much further than our Gemara. In other words, which
Lechora, we could perhaps distinguish between the nature of the damage of a Ez to the nature of the damage of these other animals that are basically wilder animals. That by us we're speaking about Niske Mamon, while there we're speaking about Chabala or Niske Nefashos, etc. Perhaps that would be the difference. Unclear. But in any case, we have these two different standards. The problem is, not the problem, but the reality is that the Rambam appears to mush the two together. Look in the Rambam, Hilchos Niske Mamon, Behema Shehayasa Ro'a. We have a domesticated animal. Upirsha v'nichnasa b'sados u'bikramim. And it decides that the grass is greener on the other side and goes into other fields in order to be able to eat. Afal pi she'adayim lo hizika. Even if we manage to chase the animal away, masrin b'ba'aleha shavash pa'amim, im lo shamar behemto, v'lo mona milir'os, yesh v'shus le'ba'al hasada, l'shchoto tashchita k'shera. Omer le'ba'aleha, bo'u u'michru basar shelachem, mipnei she'osar lo'odam lahazik u'loshalei ma'shehizik, afi u'ligrom ha'nezek osar. Namely, the Rambam takes our Gemara of the Masrin and the Shochtin and applies it not to Izim She'omdim L'Shchita, but he applies it to the world of, you know, this animal has shown his nature to be that he can cause damage. So he's already like the Chatul. But, in other words, as opposed to just go ahead and killing the Chatul or killing the lion, like Rabbi says, it says, Shechted Shchita K'shera. In other words, so the Raivid was bothered. What's going on over here? The Rambam is making this up. The Gemara is talking about a limited case. You have a shepherd and you have some of his animals that tend to wander off. You just can't tell the shepherd if that animal wanders off once more, I'm going to shoot him. You can't do that. And if the animal damages, so then you'll pay, right? Namely, the Gemara is not talking about such a situation. The Gemara is only talking about animals that are omdim l'shchita. So, how did the Rambam put these all together? I mean, what's the Rambam over here basing himself on? Rav Yosef has a unique takana in the world of shochtim, of animals that are omdim l'shchita, that the shochet wants to make more of a profit by bringing into town animals that can cause damage. And in such a situation, we warn the shochet 3 times, and maximum, we'll shecht them earlier, and he'll still be able to profit, but not as much as he had hoped. That's all Rav Yosef said. Then on the other hand, we have the Gemara of the wild animals, that include a cat, that basically, kolakodim behem zacha, were mafkia the bailus, in other words, just get rid of these, of these pests. They were put into the world for us to get rid of, at least in civilized areas. Let them be in safaris, but not in Yerushalayim, not in civilized areas. And then the Rambam is dealing with a domesticated animal that has a bit of a mischievous nature, and says that after a hasra, even if no damage was done, we can check it and tell the owner, here's your meat. What's the alternative to the Rambam? What would Tosa say about the case of the Rambam? Or what does the Rambam himself say about the case of the Rambam? What happens when you have mischievous domesticated animals?
I'll have to continue to pay tashlum every time something bad.
So anytime there's a problem, we'll go to Bezdin, right? That the Nizak will present his case, and the Mazik will present his case, and the Bezdin will paskin. We have over here a case of Ubir Bistei Acher. We have the Mazik of Shame, and the Roe, or the owner, has to pay. The Rambam says, in that case, we can short-circuit the system. What's that called in halacha where you want to short-circuit the system? You don't want to, you know you're going to win in Bezdin, but you don't want to go through the whole process of taking this person to court Monday and Thursday. This is called Ovid Inish.
Avid inishdino lenafshe. That we have a concept that you can sometimes be a vigilante. Avid inishdino lenafshe also has rules. Everything in halacha has rules. There are rules. But the Rambam is applying over here, Avid inishdino lenafshe. I know I'm going to win. So instead of my winning nezikin, I'm just going to prevent the nezik from happening in the first place. Rambam says, I can do that under one circumstance. A, kanereh, that's the only way of my dealing with the situation. And B, can I just shoot the animal? Can I put poison in my field? What does Rambam say? I have to shecht the shechita kshera v'omer lebaleha bo'u michru basar shelachem. Namely, that I have the right to Ovid Inishdino Manafshe in a manner that will cause the least damage to the mas. In other words, that I have...
That's a very strange Inishdino Manafshe. He hasn't done anything, he hasn't done any hezek yet. It's not like, oh yeah, you owe me $10, so I'm going to accept your animal. He doesn't owe me $10 yet. The animal hasn't done any damage.
Right, but I've warned the animal, warned the owner three times.
Right, but what... Din, there's no din yet.
In other words, are you allowed to damage and pay? Is this a heter for that person who just go in and damage and pay?
No,
it's aser. It's aser to damage. Right? In other words, so my ovid dina lenafshe is prevent this individual from living a life of iser. In other words, he's living, a bidyevid.
That's not lenafshe. That's his cheshbon, not my cheshbon.
I agree with you. The Rambam over here is tremendously mechudash. I'm just trying to fit it into some halachic category. That since it's aser for someone to, that's the Rambam concludes. Nesha aser la'adam mahaziku l'shalim mashehizik. So I am able to prevent damage when the person who doesn't prevent it is being over an iser. As long as I do it in the Alatsarayotir Tov, that I am doing it in a manner where I am causing the individual who is over the Iser the least loss. Okay, but it's a very, again, the Rambam is taking a bit of our Gemara, a bit of Avinish Dinafshe, a bit of of Rav Elazar, a bit of Machriz Rav, and putting it all together that we don't have a black and white makar for that which the Rambam is saying, which is the right point. Okay, you saw the next Mishnah. Okay, so let's just begin the next sugya. Kafdalad of the days, Ezehu tam ve'ezehu muad. So the Gemara, of course, the Mishnah is of course doesn't explain what is a short tam. A short tam is the shore before it becomes a shore muad. But rather, when does the shore return to be a short tam, and when does it become a muad? Kol sheheidu bogimel yamin, that's the tam sheyachzor bogimel yamin di Rav Yehuda. Rav Meir omer muad sheheidu bogimel pamin, the tam kol sheyotinokos mamash mishin bo ve'eno nokchad. The common yamin between Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir is that what number is the magic number? Three. We have this magic number of three. The question is three what? 3 days or three negicha? Okay? What's the source of this magic number of three according to the Gemara? Zeres HaKosuf. We have a Drasha of Psukim. What does Tosus point out? That we have a Sugya in Yevamos, a Machokas Rebbe and Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, in terms of how many times something has to occur for us to view it as a Chazaka. And the Gemara over there mentions that our Mishnah appears to go like whom? Rebbe says that a chazaka is two times. Shimon Gamliel says a chazaka is three times. The Gemara over there says that our Mishnah, the world of Shor HaMuad, Asiel Lefi Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. So it appears that we're not dealing over here with Xeris HaKosuv, we're dealing over here with the world of chazakas. Right? In other words, Satosa says, which sugya is the Iker sugya? Our sugya deals with this three as Xeris HaKosuv. The Gemara in Yevamos puts it in a much broader context. What does Tosus point out? Amiri, the Had Amrinan Baboli Yevimta the Sasam Lantana the Shor Hamuad Rav Shimon Gamliel Damar B'Shalosh the Shalosh Yevim Hamechazaka Lo Mishun the the Vahave Pruktahu Bishor Hamuad, the Mikrai Darshina. And what Tosa says, which sugya is the Iker sugya? Which sugya should be taken literally, and which should be taken more figuratively?
Ours is more literal.
Ours is the source. The source of the three is the Xeras HaKosu. So why does the Gemara then bring it into Rosh Hashanah? It's nothing to do with Rosh Hashanah Gamliel, but it's parable. That's what the Gemara was saying. Just like Rosh Hashanah Gamliel requires three in the world of Chazaka, parallel to that, we have a concept of three in Shor HaMuad. But not that Shor HaMuad is a derivative of Rav Shimon Gamliel. And so that's the way the Tosus learns. But even though Tosus learns that way, I put you on the world of the Makar. And Tosus and Yivamas also says, Shor HaMuad, Rebbe lo paligakura. Rebbe agrees that even though you have a chazaka with two, by Shor HaMuad you need three. It's a pasuk. Rebbe lo paligakura, ela klomar, it's just parallel. It's something that happens to fit in nicely according to Shimon Gamliel. But it's not a kasha on Rebbe. Rebbe certainly agrees that the world of Shor HaMuad is three tongues. However, Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz on Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, when he's dealing with a world of Dilud, in other words, where you have an animal that gores every other ox that it's going to meet. And the question is, at what point, you know, where it's like when you have a veset to deal with, three times, four times, etc. So Tosfos over there, Tosfos Rebbe Peretz points out, Yeshlamar, the Muki Lola, Braisa, the Le'el Karebi, the Amar betray Zimne Have Chazaka, or Kacha the Muad Laserugin, after Zimne Kamai Salamim in Yonabu. That even if you hold, you don't count the first one, but two more will be enough, because according to Rebbe, all you need is two. Namely, that Tosfos Rebbeinu Peretz learns that Rebbe has a nafgamina within the world of Shor HaMuad. According to Rebbe, Shor HaMuad is two times, not three times. Good, right? And similarly, the Me'iri by us. The Me'iri says that later on we're going to see Machokas Abaye v'Rava, and normally we pass on like Rava, but over here we're going to pass on like Abaye. Ein anu choshishin l'kaf, she'ein ikar machokas eshelahem. The whole issue between Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir and Abaye and Rava doesn't begin with them. We're dealing with the machlokes tanoim previous to Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir and Abaye and Rava. Kamosha amru vestos v'shor hamuad halacha k'rashim gamliel kamosha kasachnu. Namely, that shor hamuad is three because we pass on shem gamliel. According to Rebbe, what is shor hamuad? Two. Namely, we have a machlokes rishonim whether our world of Shor HaMuad is dependent upon Rebbe and Shimon Gamliel, or it is simply Xeras HaKosev, which is unique to the world of Shor HaMuad, that even Rebbe would agree. No, what do you say? What's the issue over here? What are the two sides of the equation? In other words, when we speak about goring three times, and then you have a Shor HaMuad, What are we basically saying? If we would want to link it to Rebbe Yoshua ben Gamliel, then what are the three or the two telling us? Or it's why does the Shor HaMuad pay Nezek Shalem, as opposed to a short town which is paying Chatzin Nezek?
The Baal should have been more careful.
Okay, so the Baal being more careful, we'll say, is dependent upon when something happened a certain number of times. What are two ways of viewing that process of letting the animal, let's just see what the animal does.
So we could say, right, really, right, I guess there's three choices. Right, we could say,
let's try with two first.
Okay. So we'll skip, right? Because isn't right. So we could say, like the Pasha is the way that everybody learns, so you're learning Chumash and Rashi, that after the third time the animal does this damage, it's no longer tam. Now it is mu'ad, and now you have a higher chiyuv shmira. And if it would be mazik, you'd be
okay. In other words, we have over here a din. We have over here a formal process of turning a shor tam into a shor muad. That we have the Torah is koveya, that a shor muad is an animal that gore three times, and when after it goes through that process, it now has a different halachic framework. Or
you can say that every shor we assume is a tam until it shows us otherwise, which that, it does by goring three times.
That the purpose of the three is to tell us what's the nature of this shor, namely that we will assume basically shvarim acheska shimur kayim. That shvarim are part of the domesticated world. This animal, by goring three times, has showed us that it is a shor nakhan. Its nature is a shor nakhan. That's its nature. You can train an animal to be a shor nakhan. That's the gladiator shores, right? The shor incident. But over here, this animal wasn't trained to be a shor. It simply, on its own, has a yetzahara. And so we have to view this as a shor nakhan. If we view it as a din, so then we understand the side of the Gzeres HaKasev. Then the Gzeres HaKasev is telling us this is the formal halachic process of turning you from being chayav katzin to chayav chayav nezek shalim, that you have different responsibilities towards such a shor. If we say that we have over here a birur in the nature of the animal, then it lends itself to the machlokes Rebbe and Rosh Shimon Gamliel in terms of the world of chazaka. Right? In other words, then we could already talk in that terminology that this animal has now established itself as having a different nature, like in the world of Vesa. Right? After three times, we'll see this is the woman's nature. We have that ability there may be a woman who is a dangerous woman because her husbands are dying off on us. And Kanere, that somehow this relationship with this woman is a fatal attraction, right? Probably movie by that name. Fatal attraction. So that's a chazak. Question is, how does one define chazak? Two times or three times? So basically what we're going to move to is to a sugya dealing with the two and the three. And I want to go through the sugya keeping these two in mind. Namely, is this keta of the sugya a raya to the approach of chazakah? Or to a more formal approach, etc. Okay, so this is what we'll see now on Daf Kafdalad Amid Aleph and Kafdalad Amid Beis. This will pretty much take us through to the Mishnah on Daf Kafdalad Amid Beis, and then we'll move over to describing. We've already discussed Regel and Chain, describing more the world of Keren, and then other Muad Liol. That's where we're moving to. Next 10 shiur. There should be an email notice that tonight and tomorrow.